The Holy Gospel, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, according to Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 23. When Jesus went into the temple courts, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer it, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" They discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of the crowd, since they all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." He said to them, "Then I will not tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. He came to the second and said the same thing. The second son answered, 'I will go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Amen, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. However, the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your mind and believe him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Here again, words from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 21, which begins at verse 23. When Jesus went into the temple courts, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer it, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And then Jesus' conclusion of the matter, verse 32. "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, but you did not believe him. However, the tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. Even when you saw this, you did not change your mind and believe him." This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, you remember the preaching of John the Baptist when he came, right? Quite an interesting character. The way he ate, the way he dressed, where he lived. And his preaching had so much power and authority, such strong words that he spoke. "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? The axe is at the root of the tree." But above all things, what John the Baptist did unequivocally, most clearly, was to point to Jesus and say, "The Christ, the Lamb that comes from God to take away the sins of the world." From God. Do you remember the response of many people when they heard his preaching? They were cut to the heart. "What should we do?" they said. And John said, "Repent and believe. Follow that one. I must become less." He is the Savior from God. But not everyone was so shook up. Many were just pretending in their piety. That was the way of many then, and it's still the way of many today as well. People speak words they think God wants them to say. People put on a show, do things they think God wants them to do. But inwardly, their hearts are not sincere. Jesus calls such people to account. In his day, and he challenges us today as well, to to examine our own hearts. So that as we do that today, we borrow a phrase from the old rite of the confession of sins, let us draw near with a true heart. These events that Jesus, that are recorded in the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 21, happen during Holy Week, the Tuesday of Holy Week. And Jesus, the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, has come into the temple courts to teach. What an opportunity! What an opportunity to learn from the very one who in a few days will make himself the sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the whole world. And he's right here in their midst in the temple courts to teach them. What type of question would you ask Jesus? Maybe this one would be sincere. Jesus, why do you have to suffer and die to save us from our sins? You're God. You could do this in so many ways. Or perhaps another question. Why do believers have to suffer so much? You control all things, God. You could prevent this from happening to us. Or another question. How can I be so sure, Jesus? How can I be so sure that I'll get to heaven? All kinds of great questions that could be asked of Jesus, the master teacher, in the temple courts on the week that he makes the sacrifice for the sins of the world. But then the chief priests, the elders of the people, these church leaders come to ask Jesus a question. And what question do they come to ask Jesus? What gives you the right to say these things, to do these things, Jesus? And their question, they weren't curious. In fact, they had the answer from Jesus' own lips on many occasions, who he was, by what authority he came here. He never hid who he was or where he was from. No, these questions were a direct challenge to Jesus' authority. Where do you get off, Jesus? Who do you think you are? Their questions were not sincere. And Jesus knew that. They did not draw near to Jesus with a true heart. But Jesus' response, his response was not flustered or petulant like their questions were. No, he understood their spirit well. And so his question and response was very precise. And he knew the answer to his question. And he knew their hearts when he asked them that question. So he knew for one very specific purpose, or he asked for one very specific purpose, so that their hearts would be revealed. John's authority, was that from heaven or from men? And in fact, the answer to his question was the same as the answer to their question. No, his question was meant to expose their insincere hearts, and it worked. They couldn't answer, because either they would lose favor with the people if they were honest about what they personally believed, that John was just from men. Or, on the other hand, they would dig their own graves for rejecting God's authority if they acknowledged that John derived his authority from God, who pointed to Jesus, who derived his authority from God. So when they refused to answer, they showed how insincere they were. Well, surely we wouldn't be so foolish or so bold as to challenge Jesus' authority, would we? We would never pass up an opportunity to learn from Jesus' teaching, to be instructed by his word and direction. No, we're always eager to hear what he says. We're always paying attention with rapt attention to his words, always sincere as we listen to them, ready and eager to follow them exactly as he gives. We never question anything that he's ever said. We always draw near to him with a true heart. Well, actually, when you put it that way, when you think about it that way, we're not always so sincere as we draw near to God. In fact, do you see how rash we become when we question God's word? Do you see how foolish we actually are to think that we know well enough so that we don't need to make the most of every opportunity that he gives to teach for us to listen. I don't need church. I know it all already. Or I don't need to read my Bible in personal devotions. I've already read through it twice. How bold, and yet how foolish. How insincere. Satan has surely been influencing my life since the last time I worshiped. And since the last time I cracked open the devotion Bible, since the last time I've dusted off those books at home, how insincere in our show of piety to think that we're better, that we're good enough, that we don't need to learn more from Jesus. I'm a pretty good Christian as it is. How insincere in our confessions of sins. I can't even think of anything that I've done wrong this week. So Jesus tells this little parable during Holy Week to teach a lesson about spiritual insincerity. A man has two sons, he said. To one, dad said, child, with that loving, endearing term, child, showing the great heart that God has for each of us, what great compassion and care in his relationship to us. Child, go and work in my vineyard today. To which the son defiantly responded to the face of his father, no, I will not. But later he had a change of heart about his rebellion. He changed his mind and went and worked. And he came with the same command to the second son, child, with that same endearing name, child, go and work in the vineyard today. To which the other child responded with wonderful, the fullest amount of obedience and respect, absolutely, I will, yes, sir, right away. And then he didn't go. We see ourselves at various times in both sons. Outright rejection of God's commands with no hint of pretense at times, just plain defiance. I will not, God. At other times we appear so sincere, so respectful, so obedient. Yes, God, I will follow your commands wherever you tell me to go. But then we disobey. Then we fail and we fall and we sin. And sometimes we just want to put on a good show, an appearance, when really we have no intention of following through at all. How awful of us. Yes, with a little bit of reflection, a little bit of honesty and self-awareness, I have to admit that Jesus' little story here applies way more to me than I'd actually like to admit. How often haven't I pretended, oh yes, Jesus, I will follow you wherever, only to walk away with a job unfinished. The joke goes around about a person who despises organized religion. I don't go to any church. They're all full of hypocrites. To which the pastor responds, well, there's always room for one more. Yes, the church is full of hypocrites, even believers, so often weak in our faith. Even when we aren't just drawing near to God with an insincere heart, thinking, I'm saying the confession, but I can't think of anything that I'm actually confessing. Or when we foolishly believe that we're so good that we don't need to draw near to God at all during the week. No, when we even have a sincere heart, we say one thing to God, and yet in our weakness we do an entirely another. Which of us, as believers, has done the will of the Father to work in his vineyard faithfully? Which of us, without fault and without faltering, is there one? Well, yes, there is one. And he's here among us, just as he promised. Where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is with us. But he never even said, I won't do it. No, he always said, I will do it. And then he did it. Are you ready to learn from him? See how he invites, with the greatest compassion, even the worst to the kingdom of God. Those outright scoundrels, the prostitutes, the tax collectors, who didn't even pretend to desire to follow God's will, on the one hand. And on the other hand, Pharisees, whose outwardly pious life was only a thin veil of their hypocritical, unbelieving hearts. And Jesus, he was reaching out to both of them. Even during Holy Week, seeking and saving the lost with his teaching. And friends, surely his invitation extends to you too. Believe in him. Put your trust in him. Yes, it's his righteousness, not yours, through which we enter the kingdom of God too. Let us draw near to him with a true heart. Please don't plead ignorance with your Savior. He is not so ignorant. He knows. He knows where your heart is. He knows how often you have left him, how often you have challenged him, how often you've questioned him, ignored him, failed him. He knows. For the times when you pondered, my baptism that I received, is it really from heaven? Or is it just from men? The pronouncement of forgiveness at absolution or at the Lord's table, is it really from heaven? Or is it just the words of men? He knows. And he died for those sins. He took away your sin of pretense with him. He removed your guilt of challenging his authority. He paid for your petulance when you came to him saying, "Who gives you the right to control my life?" He's forgiven it all. See in Jesus the perfect, willing Son of the Heavenly Father who said, "Yes, yes, I will." And then he did. The Father said, "Go and save these people from their sins. Save them by taking their place as the wicked, by taking their place as the hypocrite, as the petulant, and pay the penalty for these crimes, for these sins, by your perfect sacrifice of death on the cross, and wash away all of their crimes and their sins of petulance and pride and hypocrisy." And Jesus said, "Yes, Father, I will. Absolutely." And he did. Sincerity, honesty, such an important characteristic in life. To be real, to be genuine, to be honest and truthful with the people you encounter in your life. How much more important isn't it to be honest and sincere with your God? He knows. He knows all of your faults, all of your failures, all of your hesitations, all of your sins, and he rescues you from it. You aren't hiding anything from him, so be sincere with him. Let us draw near with a true heart. Be sincere in your life, in your practice as a Christian. Do not say, "Yes, these laws, these commands are good, God," and then ignore them. In your life, do them. Be sincere in your regular worship, to hear God's word, to love and appreciate Jesus teaching you. So many opportunities to learn from the master teacher. Be sincere in your use of the means of grace, sincere in your rejoicing in the forgiveness given in baptism, received at the Lord's Supper. Be sincere in your confession of sins. Do not try to hide your guilt from God. Own it. Confess it, all of it. And then you will rejoice in the extent to which God's perfect Son, Jesus, went to wash all of it away. The way of righteousness made truly for you, fully for you, perfectly for you. Let's not just tell Jesus what he wants us to say. Let's draw near with a true heart as we confess our sins to God and then rejoice in his forgiveness. Then, the fruit of this repenting and believing is that we follow through on those commands, on his will, his guidance for our life. Yes, Let our yes to Jesus be yes in heart and life. Let us draw near with a true heart. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.